Who's turn to number 37? Number 37. This next one is...
Our God and Father who art in heaven, we come before Thee this evening with thanksgiving that we could gather with the fellow saints in Thy name, that we can gather and know that You are here because we are gathered in the name of Your Son Jesus. We thank You, Father, for the provision You've made for us to be here tonight to study Your Word, to learn more about the truth of the Gospel. Not that we don't already believe it, Father, but how to help others to come to a better understanding of the truth of Your Word so that they are afforded the salvation that You paid the most dear price for with Jesus Christ, Your Son. We pray, Father, that they will be revived to come to a knowledge of the truth and be raised from the deadness of sin to walk in newness of life through Jesus Christ. May we be revived, Father, in spirit to serve You and to accomplish Your good works, not the very least of which, but most importantly maybe even, to spread the gospel, to share the truth of the hope that the world has through Jesus to be saved from sin. We pray, Father, that You'll guide us in our studies, that You will keep us on the right path to help us understand more clearly how we can teach the simple gospel truth that so many people around us need to know. We thank You, Father, for the salvation You've afforded us and the simplicity that it is to keep it and to obey it, that we simply believe on Jesus to the point that we will keep His commandments. So we will repent of our sins, confess Him as Lord and Savior, and be baptized. And when we've done that, Father, that we take the responsibility to teach others the truth of that same word. We pray for the forgiveness of our sins and that You will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, especially, Father, when we have failed to deliver the gospel message as You would have us to do when there was opportunity in front of us. Help us to grow and to be stronger and more confident in what we're needing to do so that we are more willing to do it and able to do it well. We pray, Father, that You will bless the work that we do, regardless of the quality that we actually are able to give it at any given time, that may the word that You deliver through us sink into good, honest, receptive hearts who will let that seed grow and become faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul. Please be with Randy tonight as he delivers this message of encouragement to us. And if there's someone in the room who needs to respond to the gospel message, Father, that they will feel motivated to do so and know that they are responding to Your call to come and be a part of Your body in Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray all of these things with great hope through His name. Amen.
Would open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Just recently, I had to go through some sales training, and they broke us up into different groups on Zoom to role play. And if you've ever had to do that, I despise it. I despise doing the role play. And every time we did it, I said, I'll be the customer, because I didn't want to have to be judged on my sales ability. Well, today I had to do a one-on-one where the other person was the customer, to see if I had learned anything in all of these classes. And if you want to know, I did very good. But one of the things that I mentioned in there was kind of an industry buzzword. And so I didn't make the assumption that he knew what that was. So I asked the faux customer, are you familiar with that term? He said, no, I'm not. And so I said, well, let me explain what that means. And so I broke it down and explained it. And it made me think that you know, sometimes we use words that other people don't understand, and we assume that they do. And growing up in the church and growing up with a father who is a preacher, you know, you can imagine that a lot of our association with other people was with people in the church. And so when I was in college, I had a friend who would meet somebody and he would blurt out, are you saved? And so most people, you know, we encountered when I was around him would say, yes, they were. And then one day he said that to somebody, are you saved? And they said, from what? And I thought, that never occurred to me that somebody would ever ask that question, from what? You know, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Saved from what? And so it made me think, hey, you know, maybe people don't know. Maybe that's a legitimate question. It just never occurred to me that somebody would not know what that was growing up with that. But that's why I want to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, because Paul really outlines here what it is that we are saved from. I think it really goes hand in hand with what it is that we are doing right now. Sometimes we assume people know things that they don't know, or they are familiar with a term or a concept that maybe they're not. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him, seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so this just kind of accents the fact that, you know, there's this constant refrain of calling for people to be saved, but some don't know what they are supposed to be saved from. And so if you didn't know that, that's certainly a valid question, which was brought to my attention by the reaction of this person that said, from what? Well, you know, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, because Paul notes here in the first three verses exactly what it is that you need to be saved from. And he says that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And so the person that is told that they need to be saved, I'm walking around, I'm feeling just fine. What is it that I need to be saved from? But Paul here is teaching the Ephesian brethren that they do have a problem, and the problem is sin. And we know that sin is a breaking of God's law, and it's an offense against God, and it brings death. And, you know, we often think of physical death, but that's not really the point here. The point is in the scriptures is that the spirit, what we often call spiritual death, and that's what would need to be brought to the attention of the one who doesn't know what they need to be saved from. Physical death may not be their biggest concern, because spiritual death is certainly much more important, and that's why physical death is so scary if you're not prepared, because you're also spiritually dead. And so, how did that happen? Well, Adam and Eve sinned, and when they sinned, they were removed from the presence of God. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden. And when we sin, we're separated from God. And so you see Paul saying that here in verse 1, that we were dead. Why? Because of our disobedience and sins. And so the picture that he paints here is one of hopelessness. And so what do you save from? What do you need to be saved from? Well, you need to be saved from hopelessness. You need to be saved because you are sinful. And so saved from what? Well, that's an easy question to answer that Paul brings out here. The next question would be, saved from what? But, what am I saved by? And Paul also tells us that, because, if it stopped here at verses 1 through 3, that would be a story of hopelessness, wouldn't it? That, okay, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. I'm very sorry about that. And that's going to affect you in a lot of bad ways, and I'm sorry. That's not what Paul said. You are dead in your trespasses and sins, but there is a resolution to that. There is hope for that. And so God wants us to choose to be with Him. And many do not do that. They choose to follow the ways of the world. But what you see here is there is hopefulness as you move on here in verse 4. It says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." I watch entirely too much TV and TV things pop in my head all the time. But when you think about, effective advertising, some of the most humorous ads are the ones that, have you ever tried to cook on a diamond? And then they do that and it's all messy. Well, of course you can't cook on a diamond. And so they show you all the horrible messes that you make. But here's the solution. So they've showed you how horrible the first, the current state is, and here's the future state that you can have with this marvelous product. And I don't mean to compare the Word of God to advertising, but you do see here that Paul is saying, here is your current state, and it's bad, but you don't have to stay in the current state. You have the future state. And you want that, right? You want the future state. And so, Paul is certainly telling us that you don't have to stay dead in trespasses and sins, because God, in His grace, has made a way for you. He could have left you there. He could have destined you to eternal punishment, because that's what we deserve. But He stepped in. He intervened, and He describes that here for us. But God is rich in mercy, and because of His great love with which He loved us, you don't have to suffer the consequences of that anymore. And it also, and I'm paraphrasing here, it says God didn't act because you're so great, but He acted because He is great, and He is great in mercy. He didn't intervene because you're such a good moral person. And so upright, it's very clear here that Paul is saying that this is not because of you. This is not because of anything great that you have done or any good work that you have done. But God is rich in mercy and loves you with a great love. And he talks about God's grace here, that unmerited favor. And because of that, what is it that you are receiving? He says, God made us alive together with Christ. He raised us up. He seated us with Him in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So we're dead in sin. So, you know, what are you saved from? You're saved from sin. How does that happen? Well, it happens because of God's mercy and God's grace. And so Ephesians tells us that in verse 13 it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Also, Paul said in Romans chapter 3, a little bit more verbose version of the same thought. He says, "But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He has passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, that He may be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." And so God put forward Jesus as that sacrifice for our sins, and that is a great thing. And finally, in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we're told what we are saved from, we are told what we are saved by, and we are told what we are saved for. And so what does God want us to do? He wants us to be His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, and that we should walk in them. So there's a responsibility that we have to walk in the ways of God, to follow His commandments. Because of all that God has done for us, we should want to do for Him and be obedient to Him. So I think that Ephesians chapter 2 is kind of a great jumping off place for that person who asks you, saved from what? What is it that I need to be saved from? Well, Paul tells us exactly what it is. And let's not assume, like I did, that everybody knows that. I cannot tell you how surprised I was to hear that reaction to the question, "Are you saved?" And somebody sarcastically shouted back, well, from what? Saved from what? What do I need to be saved from? And I thought everybody knew that, but everybody doesn't. And so, Paul didn't make that assumption either. He told us exactly what it is that we need to be saved from. And it's a common problem to us all. As he said in Romans chapter 3, we're all in that same state. And we all need the same thing. And we all can be saved by the same thing. And then have a responsibility to carry on in the pathway of righteousness. So I hope that'll be useful to you as you live your life, and it will help you to understand your responsibility as a child of God, and help you also to teach others. If anybody needs to respond tonight to the invitation, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessing that is this day that you've given us, and we thank you for the safety that you've granted all of us to be able to come out tonight and to come together and to talk about your word more tonight and how we can apply it specifically in our own lives and in spreading your gospel. And we thank you for the clear examples that we have in the Bible, and but also the teachers here that are able to present it so well for us to in a way that can be applicable. We thank you, or we pray for those who are not able to be with us, whether it be for sickness or traveling or even a spiritual reason. May we be able to help them in any way that we can, and please allow them to come back and be with us and be edified with us, and we pray that as we leave this place that that our teaching and curiosity does not stop, but that we are able to carry it into our lives and be better people because we're shining our light through you. And we pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.